ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heart of Thunder.
Welcome to Bot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. What is it, Chris? What are we burning today?
We are burning Laundry Day, Cotton and Lavender. I picked that one because when my wife was gone for 10 days, there wasn't much of a scent of laundry in this house, so...
You just didn't do it, huh?
I had to do it toward the end. I ran out of underwear, so my hand was forced, but so this is in honor of that period of my life where not much laundry scent was happening in this house.
Well, there so, it is. Make up for it.
So if there's something lacking in your home on a regular basis, check out Curiosities. Maybe they've got maybe they got a scent that will fill the void.
And if you're not convinced... If you enter the promo code POTHEAD, you'll get 20% off your order. Can't beat that deal, so go curiosities.com. Turn off the show. You don't even have to come back. Our business is done.
You're going to want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah. Go get your candles. When you're done with that, come back. We'll still be here. We'll be having a treat or whatever it is at that point by the time you're done ordering.
We'll wait.
There you go. And also, our show is brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. If you want to be like Bobby Root and introduce... this week's show like he did today. If you want to do that, that is available to every patron at every level. So check it out at patreon.com/potofthunder. Whole bunch of stuff there for you. You're going to love it. And you want to know who I am? Let's find out.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
Yes, he could be. He might be. He is the world's nakedest man. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother, as always, joined by this man who's going to dance for you. He's ready. He told me in the car on the way over he has a big plan for today, so let's see this spectacle together. Here we go. Nick Pollock has entered the program. Nick, what'd you do? Oh, he missed it.
Oh, I'm sure someone knows.
You don't.
No, I do, but okay. It's something it's been asked. I've been asked to do it.
It's one of these things where it has to be identified by people.
It's something that is it's saturated pop culture.
I've seen the move, but I can't put my finger on it. Pee-wee Herman, maybe?
It's Pee-wee-esque, but... Yeah,
but not him.
I could give it away or just let people tell us if I did it well enough.
Well, let's hope that people asked you on patreon.com/potofthunder. Tell Nick. Command Nick on the dance floor. That's a new tier.
I'll do it.
$4. Tell Nick what want him to do. He's doing it.
$4.
$4. That's right.
All right.
You name Nick's dance. You send Nick a video,
no.
A YouTube video, or a GIF, or whatever it is of someone dancing. Nick will recreate it for the mere cost $4.
I see people are guessing it incorrectly. That might be on me, so I'll just say it. It's the Danhausen dance.
I didn't even know he had a dance.
I was sent a video. I don't know how often he does it. Maybe it's one time, and only Colin Bell knows about it.
Well, I got to make Colin happy.
Making Colin happy.
Yes. Well, welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you.
And to your left, you want him. We got him.
I can have it every day, yeah, yeah. Get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L's here in his house.
Yes, siree, still here.
Woo. That's good news. Glad you're here. Glad you invited us into your home for another episode of Pot of Thunder. And I'm glad you, the listener, have invited us into your ears, wherever you are.
And if not, we were just going to occupy it anyway.
We're occupying ears.
It was going to be a Pot of Thunder takeover.
Yes, a teen takeover of sorts in your ears is what the show is.
Yep.
Against your will, you're being subjected to it.
Andy was just saying before we hit record, he's going to add a teen takeover tier.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We can do that on Patreon.
I don't know what that would be.
Or maybe if you have a small enough car, you could do donuts in here. I don't know what you want to do. Maybe
a portion of your Patreon fee will go to the Pot of Thunder Community Center that we're going to be putting up. Because these kids, they don't want to create mayhem in downtown Chicago. They want to go somewhere and play basketball. Have an open gym every Friday and Saturday night. That's what they really want.
Teenagers want nothing more than to be orderly and
follow
all the rules.
That's what I wanted as a teenager. No mischief. You know, just today I went past this old Dunkin' Donuts. Mom, close your ears. And I remember a time that someone I was with threw a full drink from the White Castle parking lot at the drive-thru window of the Dunkin' Donuts next door.
It was Dave, wasn't it?
I think it was Dave. Dave Tomko did it. Dave, you scoundrel. No wonder we're still going at it.
A full drink, huh?
Full drink. Filled it up with the free, like a free refill on the
top. Oh, okay.
And then threw it right off the, it's a glass, there's
the
drive-thru thing. It protrudes a little,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
I'd always heard it was Dave. I wasn't there.
Dave's a scoundrel. Everyone knows it. Anyway, so I was thinking, teen, if only there was somewhere for us to play basketball that day, that wouldn't have happened. Sorry, Dunkin' Donuts. Mom, you can come back now. Okay.
Somehow donuts are always involved in these incidents.
That's true. There's a lot of chaos with the donut. I don't know. Here we are. Man, there's a lot going on today. I don't even
there
know
is.
Where to begin.
You know what
there's
we should packages, know we need to
there's
do?
There's merchandise. A package. There's all kinds of stuff.
We have our new sponsor. We received an item. Can I feature it?
It showed up. It's here. Up.
Yeah, one of
you have it in your hands.
There's more coming.
Oh,
USPS is. I think they opened it and they're playing with the stuff.
No, oh,
hopefully
makes sense.
They'll give it back.
I saw Instagram of Dave Tomko playing with it.
USPS takeover.
I think he works there. I don't know what you. I don't know where you work.
It's kind of like that Paul Stanley Iceman that Steich painted. Mm-hmm. That's out in the vapor somewhere.
Well,
people
exactly.
are just stealing stuff left and right.
But we got something very lovely, which I will open up, and it's from Danny from Disher Music Gear.
Mm.
It's Danny Disher Music Gear. Danny, he makes the crowd cheer.
Nice.
So Danny Disher, sent us a nice note along with it. Thank you for sponsoring
us. Was he the
us.
President? He printed it and then autographed it? Danny Disher. Look at that. That's what a gentleman who knows what he's doing does when he communicates.
It's it's a slick presentation, I'll say that much.
It's not a napkin.
From Danny, he says, thank you for sponsoring us, Pot of Thunder. You guys rock. Love your podcast and really appreciate everything you do. We're honored to be mentioned on your podcast, and we really hope you enjoy this guitar gear, Danny Disher. So our first item that we got is this lovely pedal board.
Whoa!
Adjustable pedal board with a couple of rolls of tape. Pedal board.
Velcro. Velcro.
I believe there's adhesive on one side.
Yes, but it's double-sided Velcro. That's sure. pedal board talk.
I'm not up on the pedal board talk. So we can... I don't know. I'm trying to show
tape
it here.
Tape. Out of here. He's going to pull the sponsorship for your outright ignorance of the product.
I'm thinking outside the box here. So we've got the...
Adjustable angle for however...
Hopefully I'm showing it off good into the camera.
However you want the... however it's best for you and your foot action. Very nice piece.
Yeah, very nice.
We haven't decided what we're going to do with it.
Put a
Might
couple,
offer it up on Patreon, signed by us. We'll figure it out, but stuff is coming in. So
thank you, Danny.
Yeah, it's nice. And it comes in that nice carrying bag.
Yes, embroidered carrying
The bag
case.
Is a must. If you're going to mount all your pedals to that thing, you got to have it in a proper bag or case to carry it around, and it comes with that. So
now let's say I'm listening and I think, oh, it's time for me to get a pedal board or a new pedal board. How do I get it, Nick?
Disher Music Gear, D-I-S-H-E-R, dishermusicgear.com.
There's some nice instruments on there, too, if you're looking
there's
for something.
There's a bass in particular on there that's, I think, really lovely looking.
Which color? I was looking at.
Oh, you know what? There are a bunch of options. I don't know which one I would go with, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Well, what you should do is buy a bass from Disher, then send it to Romico Customs.
There you go.
Have a metal flake finish on it.
Yeah, that would
that's
work, too.
That's the ideal trajectory.
There you go.
So be
all our
revolutionary
buddies.
is what Danny says on his website. Play a piece of history. There's a tie-in to most of the items. Maybe all. I could be wrong. Something having to do with American history around the colonial revolutionary war time.
Oh, that's right.
So, hey,
product names.
The big 250 is about to happen.
Yeah.
If you're like me and you're like, how do I celebrate it properly? What do I do? I don't want to miss out and blow this once in an eternity occurrence here.
I think there's a Lee Greenwood fiddle on there that he's marketing. we haven't figured out what we're going to do with these things. If we do, it will be a Patreon perk, because we know we got a lot of musicians in the Patreon crew, people who know musicians. So another reason to join up, paying customers. So
there you go.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
And I apologize to Danny on behalf of the show for Nick saying rolls of tape. Unbelievable.
Hey, this is my first pedal board.
Yeah, clearly. Tape. Get out of here. Do some research into the sponsor. Odd. Tape.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Fielding says it's hook and loop fastener. There you go.
Whatever. Well, fucking Velcro. What is the Velcro going to sue us for saying the word?
Yep.
Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. We got to come up with something else.
Point being, it's not tape. All right. It's got a couple rolls of tape in here.
Is it Nick tired?
Jesus.
I don't know. We got to flex our gear knowledge, apparently.
I wouldn't blame him if he pulled the sponsorship immediately. I would.
Over that.
Yes.
Over that.
Come and get it, Danny.
Like, who are we dealing with here? They know nothing about my product. It's embarrassing.
Well, I mean, he called it mounting tape. I'm just saying.
Well, he's wrong, too. So I guess he won't be pulling the sponsorship, but he's wrong.
Well,
jeez.
We'll have to put a poll up on Facebook. Is it tape or...
There is no poll to be put up. But it's not tape.
Did we check that it's not tape?
It isn't tape. It's fucking Velcro.
Okay, so it is.
I glanced at it and I saw it.
Okay,
what's wrong with you guys?
Well, I didn't see it.
Let's put a poll up.
Well, so far you're the only one saying it's not tape.
So people can vote for something that doesn't even exist. Yeah, that's a great poll.
It's 11-foot mounting tape.
It's Velcro.
It can be both.
All right.
It's not both. It can't be both. Just because it has adhesive on one side doesn't make it tape. Jesus.
All right.
Well,
so what are we doing? We got Danny Disher. Okay.
Is a good question. I actually was wondering about that. Should we do Bake Treat first and get into my question about tonight's episode or what? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's do Bake Treat. I think it's time. Nick's got a nice little presentation here.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me? Oh, 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 oh.
what we have here, going for a sort of Americana something, you know. So what's more American than ice cream?
A couple rolls of tape in this bowl here.
Well, there's sprinkles on it, so whatever is on the other side is null and void,
there's
apparently.
A hook sprinkles and loop sprinkles in here.
So what we have here is pudding, but it's vanilla ice cream pudding. And you know how you've got the crunch coating that you can get at a lot of ice cream places?
Mm-hmm.
Did some looking into it, and best I could come up with my research is it's like it's pretty much crushed peanut brittle. So I made some peanut brittle, crushed it up, put some sprinkles in it. So you've got vanilla ice cream pudding with a crunch coating, crunch sprinkle coating.
You kept it cold for us, huh?
Yeah, hopefully it's still cold.
Thank you. Very good. Excellent. I'll be trying that shortly. Chris, you waiting? You going to try it?
Yeah, I'm going to wait.
Going to wait. Yeah. All right. All right. So, what's your question?
So, the question is, whose turn is it? Last week was going to be my turn, but I brought in the guest. So, does that mean I forfeit my turn and it's Nick's turn? Or
no, you still get a turn.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was my question. It's just been answered.
So. Okay. Are you going to stick to the usual plan and go to the list?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't have anything prepared.
All right. Well, then.
Been too busy organizing a teen takeover to think about anything other than having the song choice served up to me. So
I don't even know what platform these teens are planning their takeovers on.
That's the thing, though. As we discussed, the adults are clueless. That's why you need to bring in other teens who are willing to infiltrate the organization and tip off the adults.
I think it would be easy to get a few of them to turn on each other.
Couple of bucks.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I would flip. I would flip on both of you for a couple of bucks. So.
And it's not even. It's not even turning on. It's just people who, other teens who are savvy of the social media ways that they organize. The adults will never figure it out. So you need other teens to break up that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The answer is not putting up community centers, that I can assure you.
No way.
All right. I think public podcasting is the answer. Funding your public podcasting.
Yeah, get some microphones and put it in a public square, a PA system.
People just want to be heard.
Laptop, there you go.
Either that or they want to be anonymous and do donuts, I'm not sure. They either want their voices heard or not at all.
Or nothing. Masked donuts.
Yeah. Completely anonymous. I don't know. Not a teen. I don't think I ever really was.
No? You never really had that teen spirit to you?
I did not.
No? Not one of your things?
Did not have the teen spirit.
Nick was an old soul as a young man.
I hate that expression. No offense to you for using it.
No, I don't. I did it on purpose.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay, you did know I hated
That's
it.
That's why.
Old soul. That's one thing I always, like... I told Andy, and I've told a few people this. If my obituary says that,
you'd be pissed off.
Correct them, please. Redaction.
Don't call him an old soul.
Why would anybody call you that?
I don't know, because I like things from years ago, apparently. But I don't know. People just tend to use that.
Right.
And if anybody out there, if you like it and you want to be called that in remembrance, that's great. I just personally, for whatever reason, don't like it.
All right. So your wishes have been expressed. So.
In the public, too.
In public.
We can't forget about it.
No.
If you go first for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, ideally, when it's the time comes for your obituary, you'll be simply old, and nobody will need to refer to you as an old soul.
It'd be an old body and soul at that point.
That's true. If you croaked in your 20s, I could see it being invoked in your obituary, but ideally, you'll be 80s or 90s, and you'll just simply be old.
He was an old soul. Well, yeah. What else could he have
been? No, he was old. That's the end of it.
His body finally caught
everything
up to
about
his soul.
Him. Everything about him was old.
All right.
His old body.
Noted. Do not call Nick an old soul.
Great.
Got it.
I shouldn't have said it.
All right. So, Nick, do you have the lever to activate this generator?
No.
Pull it! First pull, 872. Chris, are you able to see that?
I am able to see it. I'm bushwhicking it immediately.
Right out of the gate, hitting it with a bushwick.
I'm just not in the mood for that crap.
Hey, what are you doing, man? What's that? Move along to the next trick. We don't want any of this. Fuck!
All right, Nick.
Too bad you cut it there.
Well,
no, I'm just...
The second option here.
183.
Look at that. Someone we may have heard earlier today. Just thinking.
Okay, I'm gonna hopper this, but if I come back to it, I will pick the song above it.
This one.
Yeah. Okay. Same artist, different song.
Okay. Third and final pull. We have, we're going towards the middle of the list here. 1131. 1131. And you will see it right here. Ay, ay, ay.
That's a no.
That's a no for you.
All right.
That's a straight up no for Chris.
We don't want any of this! Fuck!
All right. So we're going back towards the top here. Was it 182? We bumped it up once. That's going to be our winner.
It's 180. Okay. But the original number was what? 183?
Was 183. 183. That's right.
I'm just trying mentally to get the alphabet going here with 183, where we landed.
All right, before we do that, I've got a kind of a hit, a different twist on everybody's favorite segment. So hit it.
Habemus papam.
Time for Pope stuff. Yay, that Pope stuff.
Oh wait, it usually pulls up what went on in the year, but it opened with who was the 183rd Pope.
Oh, 183rd.
Not necessarily of the year, but then later on it talks about the actual year, so I can't even pronounce the guy's name in the actual year 183, so I'm going to go with the first one. And it says, if you are referring to the 183rd Pope, Pope Clement IV, who reigned from 1265 to 1268, he is most noted for his strong patronage of the arts, literature, and his close relationship with writers of his time. He also issued the Parva Magnificentia, which regulated cardinal behavior, and his papacy, whatever, was the last to experience a multi-year sede vacante, papal vacancy, due to intense infighting among the cardinals.
That's a phrase you still hear.
Really?
Yeah, there are people who have kind of splintered away, and they're called sede vacantists. I think we talked about it before, but
they'd rather have no pope at all than a pope they don't like.
They believe the chair is empty and has been for decades.
And it's still empty.
There is a group that
radicals.
Mel Gibson's father was one of them.
Oh wow!
And he wrote about it. Yeah.
I would say they're the not my president of Catholics.
Yeah, I guess so.
Doesn't count. I don't like him. He doesn't count.
Yeah, he's not valid.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's up to me to decide what everyone has already
there
decided.
There you go. And how Catholic is that? But anyway. Not very.
All right. So, this is interesting, this choice, because, well, let's all find out together. Chris, are you ready to reveal here?
Yeah, I got all the info right up there. Okay. Now you just blocked it.
Well, I'll move it. Yep.
Okay.
Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho!
All right, Harold! This one's called...
Be My Lover.
off of
Killers
by the band
Alice Cooper.
Ow! Oh.
All right.
There you go.
Love it. That's we had an Alice Cooper parody already today.
What was interesting, yeah.
That's
or pot serendipity.
We have
that
our connection
all the time.
Our connection to Dish Your Music Gear was through Alice Cooper I did an episode of Mormon Book Reviews with our friend Steve.
And that had something to do with Alice Cooper too.
And it's about Alice Cooper.
No kidding.
And Danny was one of the guests. I'd never met him before, but we hit it off quite well.
And how did it pertain to Alice Cooper?
So my understanding is Alice Cooper was raised in a denomination that wasn't officially part of the Mormon organization, but recognized the writings, the Book of Mormon, I guess. And I think his grandfather was president of the church at one point or something like that, of this particular denomination.
Okay.
And everyone will forgive me if I forget all the other details, but yeah, basically he's got some sort of somewhat loose ties to it, apparently, but
okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
interesting topic.
Yeah,
if that's your thing, sounds cool.
It's something I don't think very many people really know about or talk about. So pretty interesting.
Well, you guys talked about it on a podcast.
All I did was say he's cool, man. Great music, great tunes, man.
They needed that. That's what was missing when they were looking at the
Need
lineup.
A yes, man, yep. I'm there. So.
So this was submitted by Fielding Fowler. Hey, Fielding, he's with us live on the greatest Patreon tier of all. That's right. Thank you for being with us. Very much appreciated. Fielding says, Alice brings us a super catchy, underrated tune. Enjoy. Chris, what do you think?
I have been enjoying it for decades. This song was a staple of the set of the college band.
Oh, really?
That included Chris Brown, not the woman battering.
Oh, good to know.
But the drummer currently of the Dirty Crash, and in college, the drummer for Original New Originals, one of my best friends in the world. And like I said, we covered this song. It was always in the set, always brought the house down at college parties, etc. I don't think a lot of people knew, had ever heard it, or if they did, they didn't know who it was by, but it always went over like gangbusters every time we played it.
And was this a song that Alice played? I don't know it off the top of my head, I don't think. So is this something that he played often, still plays?
No idea about
that. No idea.
That.
So you wonder how that happens sometimes, how there could be a song that works well for...
It was a single.
Oh, it was a single. Okay.
Yes.
But it worked well for Chris's band.
Michael Bruce credited as sole songwriter on Wikipedia. Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, as you'll hear, it's single worthy. I mean, it's a song that was clearly crafted to, you know, be as popular as possible. There's nothing, it's not Shake Hands with Beef, let's put it that way. It's a little more accessible than that.
Hard to believe, but all right.
I know. Strong statement, but you guys can be the judge, but this is the anti-Shake Hands with Beef.
Now, this is track number two, which follows a song, which I haven't seen Alice Cooper for years now, but I would imagine he still plays the lead track, Under My Wheels.
Yeah, probably. I'm
thinking that's always in the set.
Yeah.
Oh, this is 1971, huh?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay. Two discs? Oh, no, this is a re-release. Okay. Track two of eight. Okay.
So that's why I picked it. Another Alice Cooper song came up, and I hadn't heard it before, and I'm just like, and we need another Alice Cooper. And then I saw this title above it. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk about this one tonight. Now, how many Alice Cooper songs have we done? Just the one? Or have we done two? No, we did two. The Man Behind the Mask and Billion Dollar Baby.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
With your mom.
Yep.
Yeah, that's so right. It's three.
So this will be the third.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So it's achieved lover boy status Alice Cooper has.
Now, we had, you know, Van Halen last week, which is a band that it has enough, I would say, variety to warrant a podcast where you're doing all Van Halen songs. And there is one, obviously.
There was one. They did it. They
did they finish it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
And the podcast will rock.
Mm-hmm. Apologies. I didn't know that it was completely finished, the discography.
Yeah, but, the same thing that happened with us. They just ran out of songs.
But I would say Alice Cooper, possibly even more worthy of a podcast that breaks down every song, because it's the catalog. Well, it's
varied catalog.
Very extensive. Mm-hmm. More than Kiss. I don't know how many songs Alice Cooper has, but he's got to have more albums and more songs than Kiss. And varied and diverse musically.
And he's another one of those guys or bands that whenever we're talking about this subject, when we've talked about it in the past, he hasn't come up, but he's another one of those bands and artists whose heyday was in the 70s, but was still popular in the 80s.
Yeah.
Pivoted to, you know, blend in with that sound and in some ways the visual.
Yeah.
And was popular, you know?
Yeah, you had guys like that who were masters of the visual aspect of rock and roll performance. So how many, I off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of like a band from the 70s that was big that didn't really flourish on MTV that are in that category as far as stage presentation. I'm sure our live chat will come up with something. I can't
mean
really
that
think of
weren't
anything.
that didn't
thrive in the 80s. Yeah, didn't have like a resurgence in the mid 80s or so, but were like Kiss and Alice Cooper and I don't know, I guess you could say Pink Floyd to an extent.
I mean, one that's popping into my mind, it would be Grand Funk Railroad. Mm. I mean, when we talked about them, they were huge in the 70s, bigger than even I knew they were. And I'm from Detroit. I should know better than that. But I don't know if it was personnel reasons or whatever, but, you know, they weren't, if they were releasing music in the 80s, nobody knew about it. Foghat is another one.
I mean, would you say like Blue Oyster Cult, because they had such a visual, they had the lasers and all that stuff, but in the 80s I don't know that it really translated on MTV.
Well, yeah, not necessarily on MTV, but I mean, early part of the decade that spill over from the 70s. Yeah. I mean, they had that Black and Blue tour with Black Sabbath, which that movie was a staple of like midnight showings on the weekends.
It was a concert movie?
Yeah, from Black and Blue Tour.
And it was what, like a set of each of them or back
I think
and forth?
So.
Or,
yeah.
That's
okay.
Cool.
I think it was the first Dio tour, the Heaven and Hell tour that they were on. And then I remember the video for Burning for You was pretty big. And that song was pretty big in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. But in terms of them, like, you know, tapping into the like the Sunset Strip look and sound, they never did that. But Alice Cooper kind of did with the Trash album and,
yeah,
you know, songs like Poison and whatnot,
Feed My Frankenstein and all that.
Yeah, interesting. What about Slade? Would they fall into that category, or were they not?
Slade was never big in the U.S. Okay. So I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of bands who I know were big in the 70s and then they don't have an 80s presence.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like a band that masters of the visual aspect of it that didn't achieve that in the 80s. Like didn't use that to their, or maybe tried to, but it didn't work out in the 80s on MTV. Because it seems to make perfect sense. It's like, well, we have this exceedingly visual medium now.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the big thing that, that makes or breaks you. Makes perfect sense that some of these guys would be like ducks to water with it.
It just didn't work for some. Interesting. All right, well.
But anyway, we loved this song, obviously, to the point where we covered it. And this is a song that, like, you know, the guys in the band, we all had very diverse musical tastes. But, you know, when we formed, we just started honing in on a sound we wanted to do, and this song was right in that wheelhouse and was one that we all could agree on. We all loved it. We worked it up immediately, played it virtually every time we played out, and always went over great.
All right. Well, you guys ready to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Be My Lover.
She struts into the room. Well, I don't know her, but with a magnifying glance, I just saw.
The thing that stands out to me is the chord progression. It's not exactly the same, and I don't know it, but just to my ear, it's got a very similar sort of pattern and rhythm to the chorus of, let's see, it would have been like two albums after this, from Billion Dollar Babies, from Raped and Freezin'.
Hmm. Okay.
It's got that sort of, I don't know, like Alice Cooper had, the Alice Cooper band, that is, there's a certain, like, I guess I'll call it a swing, like a bop to it. It's kind of a, how would you say, not surf exactly, but it's like sunnier California-y kind of music, but then the subject matter, you know, can be twisted and, sure. and strange.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where it's, I guess you could say punk music is like that, like the Ramones, the Sex Pistols.
This is three chord rock.
Yeah, it's like classic, even at this point it's classic rock, but there's a twist on it that makes it a little bit like a little bit strange, a bit of an oddity, but they definitely, and it's making me think of another song that had that rhythm, and this was long after Alice Cooper had been a solo artist. It's on the Dirty Diamonds album. It's called Sunset Babies. And it sounds just like it would have been an old Alice Cooper band recording from the early 70s. Like sonically, somehow they achieved that many years later. But
yeah, it's three chord rock. It's basically like saying like, oh, that AC/DC song that was on High Voltage. It kind of sounds like the song that was on Powerage a few years later. It's three chord rock.
Yeah, but it's a cool thing. I think musically, to me at least, that's the big appeal of Alice Cooper, is just that it's not doom metal or anything. Like, it's not prototypical doom metal or something where it's like, okay, we have this character, this frontman character that's like an insane, dangerous person. So we have to, and it's like, no, we're just gonna. We're gonna have like a subversive form of this bubblegummy kind of stuff,
yeah. Right? From a visual standpoint, but as you'll hear, first of all, Nick, are you familiar with this song? Did you know this song by the title?
I know it by the title, and I've heard it before. I never owned this album, but I have heard it before.
And Andy, you've never heard this?
No, never heard it.
Okay, it's just a straight up rock song. It's kind of like, you know, not all Kiss songs blended in with the visual image. Some of it was just straight up rock and roll that, you know, you could see a t-shirt and jeans band doing, you know. That was like the big disconnect later on with, you know, Dynasty and Unmasked and stuff like that. It's like, you know, you got Gene on the video trying to look all evil and dangerous, and meanwhile the song is fucking Tomorrow. With the little, you know, bouncy keyboard thing, and it's like the two things don't mesh. But if you're gonna lean into one, lean into the music, because the music is great. So this would be that that kind of an example that came out like in 71, like super early. But yeah, they were rockers. They were from Detroit. That's just the Detroit sound.
Look her over.
I love that lyric, with a magnifying glance, I just sort of look her over. It's a nice play on words.
It is.
Yeah, it was my first time hearing it, so I'm taking it all in at once.
Oh, and by, I'll just give a little teaser. Later, there's a lyric that we manipulated to conform to our band. So when we get to it, I'll tell you what we did to it.
We have a drink or two, well, maybe three. And then suddenly, she starts telling me her life story. She says, baby, if you wanna be my lover, you better take me home. 'Cause it's a long, long way to paradise, and I'm still on my own.
Now, we weren't good enough singers to do those backing vocals, but it goes to it goes to what you said a few minutes ago about that sort of bouncy, happy California vibe, yeah. Like the doo-wop backing vocals. Yeah, it's very early rock and roll that they're paying homage to here.
Yeah, and that bass playing during the chorus, pretty fantastic. I always love when people wander into the higher registers like that. And do it as effectively as that.
Bobby Root just said, I love the bass coming in. So
it's fantastic, yeah.
Well, it's like, so that's guitar and kick drum and vocals, and then the bass comes in, and then just before the chorus, the whole band kicks in. Pretty cool arrangement.
Yeah.
That builds up, like, certainly for us in a live setting, it sort of built up that tension. Like, when is the whole band going to kick in, and what's going to happen when they do? And, you know, just that kind of creative arranging, just, you know, it always adds to the appeal of rock songs to me. Some you want just four on the floor,
yeah,
full tilt, start to finish. Others, like this, are you know, there's room for these as well, obviously, and more often than not, they're just more interesting to me.
Like, I don't know what year or what album Alice Cooper had just kind of like full-blown distorted guitars, but the old Alice Cooper band, it was, I mean, it, like, there was some fuzz there, but it wasn't overdriven. They made it heavy, and they made it work with a fairly clean sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I can't think of, you know, I'm guessing sometime in maybe late 70s, I don't know, when the sort of like really overdriven guitars started to come in, but the overall sound, there really is, I think, something even heavier. Like, I've heard people say, oh, Johnny Cash, American recordings with Rick Rubin's the heaviest stuff ever.
Yeah,
it's I think where people are coming from with that. But I will say there is something about the clean, mostly clean, maybe a bit of fuzz on it, guitar sound in a hard rock song. That really, like, just as I'm getting older, I'm appreciating it and realizing that there is, like, a real edge and heaviness to that.
Well, everything really changed with the first Van Halen album.
Yeah.
Eddie Van Halen was using those modified Marshalls that were, he used that Variac device, which increased the voltage, which basically set the amp on the verge of failure, running so hot on the electricity. That was the genesis of the hot rotted overdriven guitar sound. Before then, it was all like this. All the early AC/DC albums, you listen to those, those are clean guitars, basically. I mean, pushed to the edge, mm-hmm, of breakup, but certainly not like super saturated gainy guitar, mm-hmm, tones. Those kicked in again, after Van Halen 1, they started to get a little more saturated on Highway to Hell, and then, yeah, then just kept progressing up to your beloved AC/DC Live. I mean, those are like full tilt roaring modern guitar sounds, but you listen to everything that Bon Scott sang on, you listen to the guitars, they're clean guitars. It's just loud, you know, but it's not super distorted. And none of the 70s stuff really was. So, yeah, good observation there. But yeah, we were, like that kind of arpeggiated thing that was going on with the guitars.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of bypassed that just for, you know, just hammering out those power chords. So we were a little more primitive with our version with it. It was just, you know, straight ahead, hard hitting. A lot of the more intricate guitar stuff we bypassed. Because I was the only guitarist, so I was going to play all the parts. It wasn't possible. So.
Yeah, there's on these old albums, there's a lot of interplay between the two guitars.
There is, yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know if it's the mix or whatever, but there's, you know, there was another sort of wah-wah guitar line in there that was... it's wafting through that you could barely hear. It's remember it being a little more prominent other times I've heard it, but yeah, the two guitarists are doing different things during this section.
Now, is this the first album that Bob Ezrin produced for them, or did he do Love It to Death? I'm looking it up. Nope. Oh, yeah, he was a co-producer, though, actually, on Love It to Death. Okay.
All right. So, Andy, your thoughts so far?
I'll save them.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Andy's making us sweat a little bit.
Yep.
That's good.
Soldier that I came from Detroit City.
Oh, sorry, but it reminded me of a Tom Jones' country song. Last night I went to sleep in Detroit City. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. He does say that.
Well, he's not. I don't think he's the first one to do that song, but that's the version that I always think of. Hmm. Anyway, sorry.
Is that a common way that people would refer to Detroit, Detroit City?
Or I don't know.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just an amalgamation of Motor City. Yeah. Who knows? But.
All right.
I think it just works with the cadence of the lyrics here, and I'm probably also in the Tom Jones. It was a cover song, country song.
Yeah, I think I don't know who did it originally, but it's like a million people had done it back then. But yeah, it's a sort of a country-ish song. He wore a lot of cowboy hats, Tom Jones. More on that months from now, perhaps.
Jackie says I'm getting Who vibes.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's not... it's not inaccurate. Again, essentially three chord rock delivered with a lot of volume, and I guess draw parallels to I Can't Explain, maybe, which was earlier in the '60s.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an off base comparison.
In a long head rock and roll band. Singer's name was Alice. I said, listen, baby, you really wouldn't understand.
All right, so those are the lyrics. Actually, there were two that we adjusted that I just remembered. So the first one, instead of long-haired rock and roll band, we said fucked up rock and roll band. And then, obviously, instead of the singer's name was Alice, it was the drummer's name was Brown Dog.
What was the singer's name? Just out of curiosity.
Stu.
Okay.
So we needed something with two syllables there. I guess we could have said Stuart, but just made sense to say, she asked me why the drummer's name was Brown Dog. I said, listen, maybe you really wouldn't understand.
You really, yeah.
So yeah, that's how we always did it. It was a good time. It was fun to, you know, apply the take lyrics that, you know, are specific to the artist you're covering and make them specific to what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm trying to think of I guess I Am the Walrus would be something that came before that was like we're
name checking themselves.
Name checking ourselves in our song, yeah. Like yeah. Glass Onion or I'm the Walrus. I'm sure there are many others, but those are the ones that are popping up in my head right now.
Yeah.
I said, baby, if you wanna be my lover, you better take me home. 'Cause it's a long, long way to paradise, and I'm still on my own. On my own.
Oh, I like when people do weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was the sound he went with, but it works.
And just that build up to the half tempo version of the chorus. Again, the arrangement of this song is fantastic. And when you play it live, it really takes the audience on a journey. Like they don't know what's coming next because there's so many twists and turns, which you don't normally expect from a three-chord straight-up rock song, but that's what makes this so brilliant and interesting. And like I said, it just always went over great live because people didn't know what the hell was happening and what was going to happen next, but all of it was just so catchy.
And listening to that, I guess I call it a build down because it's slowing down. And I am assuming Bob Ezrin being having the reputation of being the technical wizard that he is.
Well, did he have that reputation that early? I mean, this is 1971.
I don't know. Well, maybe it was with these albums that he gained that.
That's
reputation,
what I'm saying.
But
it's like,
but with, I'm sure he had a lot of the same techniques.
Well, sure.
Already, but how would you execute this if you're someone who is kind of approaching it like a technician and you've got a variable speed thing happening here tempo-wise? I can't imagine a metronome is going to be helpful.
Well, and you wouldn't want a metronome with this band because it would strip all the personality out of it. One of the great things about bands like this is, like, you know, you don't want it to be perfect from a time standpoint. You don't want it to be perfect from a execution standpoint. It's where all the personality is. These guys were not virtuoso players, but you put them together in a unit and they make a beautiful noise and craft an interesting, awesome rock song. So to break it down to like click tracks and metronomes, you wouldn't want that with the Alice Cooper band.
But
I wouldn't.
I would assume that it was used, though. Like,
why would you assume that?
I just because Bob Ezrin's reputation of being
like
a
perfectionist. But he didn't have that reputation. You got to remember, this is 71. I mean, how many albums had he produced up to this point?
Oh, I don't know, but I would think though,
thinking of him in mid '70s Destroyer version, which was like 5 years later. He had a whole half decade to, you know, become that guy who was like a studio manipulator and made guys do 50 takes of something, and everything had to be perfect. This is way before that. I think this is. This was him embarking on that journey, and you know, not fully formed in terms of the Bob Ezrin we always think of. This is way early, man. It's 1971, and if he was that, you certainly don't hear it on this track. or a lot of, like, Under My Wheels is not that, doesn't sound like that to me. It's one of the great things about the early Alice Cooper band. They were rough around the edges. They were not virtuoso players. And that's what that's where the character comes in now. Everything sounds the same now. And it became that as the decade wore on, as producers became more adept to the studio and there was more pressure from the record companies to put out hits and pristine albums. You know, this was still hard rock in its infancy. It's what makes it so great to me.
It says co-written by Bob Ezrin, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what it says there.
Okay, well, one or the other, I guess. Either Michael Bruce by himself or with Bob Ezrin. We're reading. I always enjoyed the writing on the Andy had the album cover just up there.
Yeah,
that's like MS Paint.
Oh, yeah.
Freehand.
Yeah,
in 1971. Yeah, yeah. Always enjoyed that.
You know, Bobby Root said, listen for the drummer dropping his sticks during the finish. Did you hear that?
I thought he was clicking the rim of the snare on purpose.
Yeah, and I never heard his dropping sticks. I thought it was, you know, how drummers count in the song by hitting their sticks together. I just think he hit the sticks together twice before. And by the way, we always did that as well. Brown did it.
It was Brown Dog.
Yes, it was an essential part of the song. He never failed to do that in the song.
Forever now, Brown Dog.
Well, it's forever been. That's been his nickname for 40 years now.
Well, now it's entered
the
vernacular,
the worldwide consciousness. It's been beamed out to the world. So.
All right. Oh, Bobby says he dropped him according to Alice. So there you go. A rock and roll story. That's the Steven Adler's girlfriend story.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper.
No, except for way more believable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be embarrassed if I believed he dropped his sticks.
Not at all. All right. So it's time for us to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Chris, you chose the song. You first.
Sweetest Surrender possible.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
One of my all-time favorite songs, obviously, brings me back to the college days when we worked it up in the basement and played it out. And we talk about this. We've discussed it with, you know, Jericho and Rich Ward and PJ and stuff like that. It's especially when you're doing, in the context of doing covers. It's like there's some covers that you work up and you're like, this is going to be great. And you play it out and it's a dud.
Yeah.
And there's other songs that you just work up for your own enjoyment with no real expectation. And you put it out there live and people go ape shit for it. This is an example of the second type. We worked it up because we all liked it. We all loved it, actually. And found out it was just it was a slam dunk, as Andy likes to say, in a live setting when, you know, college parties, when we get bar gigs, never failed to just go over like gangbusters, and deservedly so. It's a great rock song. Interesting, borderline funny lyrics. The arrangement is all takes the listener on a ride. I love it. One of my all-time favorite songs, hands down.
Nick?
Sweet Surrender from me.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Yeah, I love so much of the like. I won't claim to be an expert on Alice Cooper's catalog or even the Alice Cooper Band's catalog, but there's a lot of it that I really love, and this song is in the vein of. Like I mentioned, are we gonna get flagged if I say "Raped in Friesen"? It's the name of the song.
I don't know.
Is that a song you can't, or is that a word you can't say? I usually say things that give us the E rating, but now it might just get us taken down entirely. But no. That's the name of the song.
With all the true crime podcasts out there, I think
yeah,
you
but
can
I've,
say
I've
it
noticed
as
certain
as
words though. You know, they certain words people like to it, not profanity, but you know. Anyway, that's
yeah, all what, right.
whatever. I will say that's an awesome song.
There you go.
And this has this is the same band doing the same type of song, and I love this stuff. So,
all right, my turn. I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
First time hearing it. I'm echoing a lot of the things that you guys are saying. As far as like, Nick said something that we never talked about, I don't think, but that music, like hard rock music with cleaner guitars, has become really appealing to me lately, which is funny that you said that because I was thinking the same thing. Like when I hear that, something about it is more satisfying. I don't know if I'm just, mm-hmm. if it's like too much that I've listened to in my lifetime of distorted guitars where it's just kind of refreshing to not hear that. I don't know. Or is it just an old thing?
There's something, you know, I think I came to a realization that could be a thing that I was experiencing because I heard a John Fogerty interview where they were asking about his philosophy on mixing songs, mm-hmm. what needs to be up front and everything.
Yeah.
And it, you know, his stuff, the guitar is clearly heard, sounds great, but it's not overdriven or anything crazy like that. And he's got some of like the heaviest classic rock that you can possibly listen to. So there's yeah. there's something to it. It's not just guitar that's gonna bring the heaviness.
No, apparently. No. Properly mixed bass, an impactful drum kit, all of it. It all. Throw it in the pot, it all contributes to the heaviness of it.
And when everyone's playing with some fire, it comes across regardless of
however
exactly. you have your amp or pedal
yeah,
set.
That's
whatever.
The big thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I looked it up here, and I can't tell. It doesn't seem to be a complete discography, and I tried to get it chronological, but according to what I have here, this is like the second album Ezrin ever produced. So he was definitely not the fully formed Bob Ezrin we know from the Kiss Destroyer days at this point.
I'd be curious to know when he adopted his, you know, the story that Kiss would always tell is like they were in school, all of a sudden they were in front of a blackboard and he's explaining music theory to them.
Yeah, teaching them
how to
tune a guitar and how to string a guitar and all like how to pluck a string. Wasn't it like all the way down that with them?
Yeah, I think so, but yeah. You know, they probably knew how to do that.
I'm not saying they didn't
know
how,
but that's what they said.
But they said that he was saying, this is how I want you to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Forget what you know.
And then famously Ace didn't show up all the time.
Right, exactly. You broke Ace Frehley's spirit. Because Ace Frehley is more, he'd be more inclined to be in the Alice Cooper band than to be in the type of band Bob Ezrin wanted Kiss to be. He's just a shoot from the hip, rough around the edges rock and roll guitar player.
Yeah.
And to be sat in front of a chalkboard and be giving a theory lesson, he's like, fuck this. I'm not participating in this. This is not what I signed up for. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, this is not why Elvis likes me. because I sit in front of a chalkboard and learn things.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like it always surprises me how early this song is because I don't know why. It's like I never really think of Alice Cooper being active that early in the 70s, but they absolutely, I mean, they got their start in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The famous chicken incident warming up for Mothers of Invention.
Yeah.
That was in, what, 69, I think? I mean, it'd been around forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, to me, it, I always think mid 70s and later, but this is early hard rock, man.
Well, this is, let's see. I mean, because what, 18 was on the album before this, right? So,
geez. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they were.
This is all that, you know, that Detroit sound, Stooges, MC5, Amboy Dukes, all that shit from that era. The seminal hard rock music.
The Frost.
Yeah. Which gave Ezrin his ringers.
Yeah.
You know,
Dick
Hunter
Wagner.
And Wagner. Yeah. Mm. Steve Hunter wasn't in the Frost, but
yeah.
As we know, you know.
They were the duo gunslingers.
Quite the tandem, especially with the Lou Reed band. That was another cover we did. The live version of Vicious kicks off the Lou Reed live album. That was another ripper that we did to just... was always in the set, so we were, this was our wheelhouse. We all listened to different music, but when we came together and made noise, it sounded like this, and that's why I very much enjoyed seeing this on the list and talking about it tonight.
One more thing I was going to mention, listening to this for the first time, like I said, it doesn't sound too far removed from a Rolling Stones song. Like, it could fit right in with
yeah.
That band to my ear.
Perhaps, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me that I don't listen to this stuff that much, but it just sounds like, oh, if you put this in the middle of a Rolling Stones album, to me it wouldn't be like, oh, what the hell's that? Other than obviously it's not the same singer, but...
Yeah, I mean, and musically, a lot of the... I would say, you know, Alice Cooper Group had the glam thing going on, early 70s glam look, so you could consider them a glam band, and that stuff was like strut rock.
Yeah.
That's really musically what most of them were doing.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't really string. I mean, the Alice Cooper Group would throw in some, like, weird chromatic thing all of a sudden, you know, time for a Big Treat theme, where it goes up, it just goes up, like, a half step, yeah. And then it just sounds weird.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they would throw in something strange like that, but essentially they were doing just like strut blues based rock and roll,
and just had the visual image and the stage show and all that stuff. But at the root of it, it's kind of like Kiss, just a jeans and t-shirt rock and roll band.
Yeah.
All right, well, look where we found ourselves, guys.
All right, Hammond. I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley wants to know if Be My Lover is a rock and roll boner, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room.
Well, my vote's absolutely in.
Mick?
My vote's in.
My vote is in.
All right, same order.
Yep.
Me, Nick, Andy.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Rock.
Roll.
Boner.
And he got it! Hey, it's a rock and roll boner. Who do you think you are? I am. Get it right.
Now I'll say... I think what put the boner over the edge on the first listen, because a first listen boner is rare, but I think Chris's stories of his band doing this and everything associated with that gave it the extra blood rush to give it a full boner. So there you go.
Well, I would also think that the very real possibility of Brown Dog himself kicking your ass the next time he sees you, because... Nick's already on his shit list for what he did to Miss You.
I don't want to be on his list.
No, Nick's on that
list. Is it him or the rapper that's going to be mad at him?
Yeah, he might just send the rapper.
There's the women battering rapper and the Nick battering drummer. be clear which one we're talking about. Yeah, I think the revelation of Brown Dog, so I had to go with it. I didn't know that was his nickname.
Who's the guy who did Horny Mark, what's his name?
Mark Morrison?
Yeah. He's going to send his alias to come kick Nick's ass. So yeah, Nick is already on the list for what he did to Miss You. I don't think so dismissal of one of the great classic rock songs of all time. So I would like to think in the back of your mind you were trying to avoid a similar fate, Andy.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it. But
because we can't do that to Mama Jones, wipe out two of his sons in one fell swoop.
No.
You guys were in danger of that.
That's wrong.
Yeah, it can't happen.
No.
It's like Saving Private Ryan, but with the Jones brothers.
All right, well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
And if you do disagree, you simply don't like rock and roll. I mean, that's just rock and roll music right there. You know, the early hard rock, it's rooted in, you know, the very, you know, earliest primal forms of rock and roll, and not, as we talked about, the full-blown, super-saturated, distorted rock sound that would happen later in the decade, but it's rock and roll music, man. If you don't like that, you don't like rock. It's like what I always say about the Kiss Live at Winterland on the box set. The first, what was that called?
Kissology.
What? Yeah, blanking on
Still
that.
Still waiting for our volume to come out that we're on.
Yeah, well, you know. But, you know, if you watch Live at Winterland, 75 Hotter Than Hell tour, right? Isn't that what they were filmed on?
74 probably, yeah, but anyway.
If you watch that and can't come away with some appreciation for Kiss on a guttural level, I'll just drop my usual phrase, I simply can't relate to you. I don't understand where your head is at. And I will question if you like rock and roll. And I will, actually, I won't question it. I will declare that you don't.
Chris will take it away from you.
I will.
That's it.
Don't you claim to like it and disagree with Be My Lover being a rock and roll boner.
You can't have it.
You can't have it. No.
Oh, yeah.
Denying you that.
It was January of 75. I just, you know, the Kiss fans are already chasing me. Chris Brown and the Kiss fans already are... I'm in several crosshairs.
He is.
They're drawing straws to see who pulls the trigger.
It's his version of participating in a teen takeover.
A Kiss fan takeover.
Basketball at the community center ain't going to do it for him. He needs that rush of danger and outlaw behavior in his life to keep him going.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we jump over to the next segment, let's take a quick look at something we got here from our friend last week, Stike Daddy. Or no, Stike Dog, sorry. We're keeping everyone a dog. From Ben, look at this. A Roico Customs t-shirt, so thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And yeah, we all got one.
I like the design. It's like a 60s car wash or something. Like
yeah, that. We talked about it. Mid-century bowling alley.
Yeah,
vibes.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah.
Cool.
And
there's some stickers over there, too, you guys can
and
have.
And that logo's even on this beautiful quarter-inch cable.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
So future production numbers will be pumped through that Roico guitar cable.
Man, got a pedal board, got a new quarter inch cable.
Shirts are available. We've tagged Roico on Instagram, but you can find him on all the socials. Direct message him with your order, take Zelle as payment, whatever.
Nice.
You know, he's got them in stock. Get one for yourself. Support a small bit. Doesn't get much smaller than a solo operation, so give him your support. If you don't have a guitar to send to him to Metal Flake Up, get yourself a t-shirt or some, whatever other merchandise he's got for sale. Just direct message him.
Yeah. I like the blue and orange color combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. gray t-shirt.
Hammond nice. Bears color.
Yeah, there you go. Getting in the vibe.
Yeah, we're all set for it. All right, I think it's time for us to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with, I don't know what it is. I didn't look this week. Some well, type of jokes. We'll see.
So the jokes are coming out, but usually we just hit the music. I think we have to. We should introduce what the jokes are about. What day is coming up? Let's see. It's the 22nd of June.
Okay.
When this comes out.
Yes, Monday, June 22nd is a. You want to say it?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Turns out it's Pet Choking Prevention Day.
Prevention.
Prevention.
Okay. Prevention being a apparently very
it's,
important word
it's
there.
Such yeah, a, sure it's such a part. Widespread thing that it needs its own day of awareness. So in the spirit of public service announcements, we are devoting our joke segment to Pet Choking Prevention Day.
Good to know. Okay. All right. Let's see.
And that's where the choke was a joke. And Weezin was Weezin. Ate a treat and couldn't breathe. Full body shakes and lots of dry heaving. Convulsing, convulsing on the floor. Spitting up wasn't happening, baby. Got in the car, drove to the vet. And that bill was really something. Say yeah, yeah, yeah. Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
All right.
I've got two.
And I have two.
All right. Who's going first?
I could do one.
All right.
Andy, name my dog right now. Just give me a name.
Sport.
Sport. Okay. Why is my dog Sport always up to date with his choking prevention certification?
Up to date.
He's always up to... Sport is always up to date. Why is that?
And Sport's a good boy. Or a girl. Was Sport a girl? A boy?
Sport's a boy.
I'm going boy.
This Sport is a boy.
Why is Sport always up to date with his choking prevention certification?
Don't know.
Because he spends all day practicing the hind lick maneuver.
This guy's such a big man over here.
That's a good one. Butt licking reference.
I mean,
yeah, they do that.
They do that.
Do that. All right, here we go. Those are real barks, by the way, from My Pack. In the spirit of the stroke awareness song, real sound effects.
Real
leave
farting.
It at that. Yeah, well, you said it. Yeah.
Couldn't get his dogs to do that, though.
Well, they probably were doing it. I just was lost in all the racket. But those are actual barking sounds from My Pack. So. All right, here we go. What did the insensitive, utterly unsympathetic guy say to his cat when it started choking on a hairball?
You went cat. Okay.
It's a pet choking prevention day, not dog specific.
Yeah. I don't know.
Say it again for Andy. What did the insensitive, utterly unsympathetic guy say to his cat when it started choking on a hairball?
I don't know.
Stop being such a pussy.
What the hell are you doing?
All right, Nick.
Oh, boy. What do you tell a chow chow to help prevent it from choking at dinner time? Chow chow being a breed of dog, of course. What do you tell a chow chow to help it prevent choking at dinner time?
What?
Don't know.
You say, after you chow chow, you gotta chew chew. Forgot about that. Andy had a good theory there.
Good theory? Oh, yeah,
James Hetfield
yeah.
and Tim Allen are the same guy.
Yep.
Nobody's ever seen him in the same room.
Nope.
So that's my finale for All me. Right. So I pass it over.
All right, here's the grand finale. Why did Klaus Meine's dog almost choke on a piece of beef jerky?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You guys know.
Yeah.
But I need to say it,
because
only I can do it. Do it justice. Why did Klaus Meine's dog almost choke on a piece of beef jerky? Because it was so hard to chew.
R. Kelly's dog barking at the end.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well,
see, when you said the thing about dog choking or pet choking prevention, my mind went to, like, let's educate people to stop choking their pets. And I was thinking, what is happening out there where people are choking?
Maybe that is what it is. No. That's just not how Nick and I interpreted it.
Yours is much better.
We took a much more naive approach, I suppose.
I thought animal violence.
I think Andy's interpretation has given us a glimpse into the dark corners of his psyche. I don't know where that comes from.
I can't.
Perfectly timed theme music today, by the way.
Yeah.
I try every week. This week it worked out.
Well, it depends on how chatty we get.
Yeah, and sometimes we have a lot of jokes. All right, well, thank you very much for listening. Glad to have you here with us. Appreciate it if you are a patron of our show on patreon.com/podofthunder. If you're not and you're interested, check it out. Hopefully there's something for you. If there's not, maybe send one of us a message and say, hey, I would like to see Nick Bottomless. We can see what we can do.
I would like to win a signed pedal board from Disher Music Gear. That suddenly is coming to play on Patreon. It's not a guarantee yet, but something we're considering.
Both are on the table.
Yeah, it's all on the table.
the Bottomless Nick and the pedal board. Both, we're not taking either one off the table.
They might be part of the same the same contest, for all you know.
We could potentially get Nick to dip his butt in paint, and that's how he signs the pedal board. We'll see what happens. We're not sure.
Well, I will see you guys on the July 4th episode.
July 4th.
Yeah, you're busting out on vacation.
I'm taking the Patreon money out for a little spin next week.
Oh, so you're off for a week. Nick's off for a week. Okay. Well,
see what Andy and I cook up. We might take the week off. We might do an episode. We haven't decided yet.
We'll see what we come up with. But again, thank you, everybody. Thank you to Danny Disher. Check him out.
Thank you to Ben.
Thank you to Ben at Royco Customs, and thank you to Curiosities, and thank you for listening. We appreciate you. We'll be back probably next week, maybe 2 weeks. We'll see, with more Pod of Thunder.
There's a cookie for you in the milk. Oil horses, they got coats of silk. It's delicious on your tongue. Oil horses got this sweet tooth strong. Hi!